Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome everyone to the Alan Nathan All-Stars. I'm Karen Cataline. A pleasure to be among the team and in memoriam to the wonderful Alan Nathan. Well, we're going to get started with this show right up front with a terrific guest, contributing editor to the American Spectator and contributor to Newsbusters and Conservative Review and former CNN political commentator. He's also associate political director for President Ronald Reagan, or was actually, and worked for Housing Secretary Jack Kemp under George H.W. Bush. His most recent book is Swamp Wars, Donald Trump and the New American Populism versus the Old Order. Wow, that takes on a lot. Jeffrey Lord, thank you so much for joining us here on this holiday weekend. Happy Thanksgiving.
And I like you, and I suspect most people in America, am busy getting ready for Turkey Day.
Well, and I like calling it Thanksgiving, but then if you really are grateful and you have gratitude, you have Thanksgiving every day, right? Right, Jeff?
That is right. That is right. Well, you know, and I'm working on a column here, but I was born and raised till I was about 15 in Massachusetts. And of course, the home of the pilgrims, you get to this time of year and you can't escape it. And yes. you were educated in grade school about the Mayflower and coming to Plymouth and all of that kind of thing. And frankly, it never gets old. I have a very battered old book called The Colonial American Writing, and it is just filled with things. The one I like the best is The Pilgrim by William Bradford, who was the governor of Massachusetts back in the he was on the Mayflower, and he signed the Mayflower Compact, and it's all about being in New England, being in Massachusetts, and their view of their rights and all of this kind of thing. He went from England first to Leiden in the Dutch Republic, and the reason was to escape the wrath of King James I, who was the head of the English Church and was not big on dissent. And William Bradford, along with all these other pilgrims, were separatists, as it were. And they wanted out from under the king. And so that's how they wound up on the Mayflower. And here we are.
What strikes me when I hear you talk about this, Jeffrey Lord, is your abundance of knowledge of history, because you live in Massachusetts, is the exact absence of knowledge of history, of reverence for where we've come from and who we are as a people, that is highly responsible for part of the predicament we're in right now, and people's swooning over socialism and communism, which for those who've been watching long enough are purely and rightfully horrified by. Well, talk about that, if you would.
The thing that really gets to me is that I think too many Americans don't know the history of America, or to the extent that they do, they are taking a left-wing view of the whole thing, which is not correct, and pushing that. That's how we wind up with a new socialist / communist mayor of New York City. It will be very interesting to see how that works out. You know, I go back and forth between being horrified that this guy is elected, and on the other hand, thinking, well, he's going to get to put everything he believes into practice, and then people will see what it's like.
You know what? I think I'm more cynical than you in some respects. There's so much we could talk about here. And let's just do. and that is that there is, there's one thing I've learned about communists as I've been watching them over the years, and that is that they lie. They lie when they don't have to. They lie when they have to. And they clearly lie in order to get supporters for things for which the truth does not happen the way they say. They promise utopia and they deliver tyranny, heartache, and genocide. Ultimately, that's what they deliver. So I know that Kami Mamdani has been having little phone tete-a-tetes with what I think is not any different, POTUS-44, Obama, who was the same guy. He just learned how to hide it better. And I think in the face of the midterms, you're going to see Mamdani pull his punches quite a lot and make people feel, I don't know how, that everything's hunky-dory over Mamdani. Because just like Castro, when they really pull the trigger on communism, all bets are off. They've got all their ducks in a row, and they have to rule by force. There's no other way to rule.
Yeah.
Am I off base there or what?
No, you're not. You're not. This is the same. I mean, the thing that gets me is that this argument keeps this situation keeps happening over and over and over again. And, you know, if I learned one thing in politics, the mayor of New York is simply because he's the mayor of New York City, becomes sort of a symbol of whatever is going on at the moment. I remember when I was a kid, and it was 2 years after President Kennedy's assassination. And of course, you know, the country was just mortified and loved the guy to death, you know, young, handsome, energetic. And out of the blue in New York City comes Republican Congressman John Lindsay, who was, of course, a very nice looking guy, smart guy, et cetera. And he was Republican. And amazingly to everybody at the time, he was elected the mayor of New York. Things didn't work out so well, as I recall, eventually for Mayor Lindsay. But these things happen. And what we have to do here is, you know, one step at a time and you know, think carefully about what this mayor is proposing, because there's nothing new here. And I remember, you know, I can give you a Reagan story. I was in the White House when Reagan met at Reykjavik, Iceland, abruptly for a sudden call for a summit with Mikhail Gorbachev. Uh-huh. And I didn't get to go to, I was sort of a junior staffer at the time. I didn't get to go to Iceland, but I got all the stories from colleagues who were there in the room. And Gorbachev wanted Reagan to get rid of the Strategic Defense Initiative, Star Wars, as they called it.
Yes.
And Reagan was refusing and thought he had made this very clear. And here they are with this at this long conference table in this old schoolhouse in Iceland. And he keeps insisting that this is what he wants. Reagan, who, remember, early in life was a labor union negotiator, knew what he was doing. And with that, he slaps his hand on the table, looks at George Shultz, the Secretary of State, and says, "Let's go, George," and gets up and walks out. and there, Gorbachev scrambles around.
At least he didn't slap his shoe on the table.
Yeah, that's right. Nikita Khrushchev style. That's
there
right.
You go.
So he walks out and Gorbachev scrambles to catch up with him and says, "I don't know what more I could have done," to which Reagan replies, "You could have said yes." Bingo, gets in the car and leaves.
You could have said yes.
And within a year, who came to the White House but Mikhail Gorbachev. And why? To sign the treaty that he wasn't willing to agree to in Iceland. Well, now he had changed his mind. Imagine that.
Only the second best negotiator we've seen in our lifetimes. Right? And speaking of which, we have so much to talk about, and you've graciously agreed to stay another segment. We haven't even begun to talk about the other issue, which I can't wait, is this. So Donald Trump had commie mom Donnie in the White House. My rather, you know, flippant remark is, well, he's talked to every other communist around the world. Why not that one? Well, that already does it. We're going to have to scramble because there's lots to talk about. Jeffrey Lord, contributing editor of The American Spectator, can't wait to talk to you after the break. This is the Ellen Nathan All-Stars on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Next year marks America's 250th birthday. And what better way to celebrate than an elevated train journey through the American Southwest? Canyon Spirit offers the adventure of a lifetime with scenic train journeys through rugged canyons and desert landscapes, along with gourmet dining and world-class service. Expansive panoramic windows allow guests to watch the magnificent scenery best seen by rail, including river canyons, red rocks, and more. Canyon Spirit travels between Salt Lake City and Denver with overnight stays in Moab, Utah, and Glenwood Springs, Colorado. And the train only travels during the day, allowing guests to enjoy the journey and relax overnight in charming small towns. TV host and travel expert Kelly Rizzo.
I think there's a certain romance to boarding a train, especially through the iconic vistas of the Southwest. Canyon Spirit offers a front row seat to these breathtaking wonders along with historic storytelling and regionally inspired gourmet dining. It's truly a wondrous experience.
To learn more, visit canyonspirit.com.
Butterball, the best known and most loved brand of turkey in the U.S., has partnered with renowned Chef Corps brand Headley and Bennett to create the first ever Thanksgiving hosting pans. Butterball turkey talk line expert Corey Gustavik shares more.
Roasting whole turkey isn't something most of us do every day. It can be intimidating and stressful, but the right clothes can make you feel more confident and comfortable in the kitchen. That's why Butterball created the first of their kind Thanksgiving hosting pants. Designed with a fun turkey print in Butterball blue, these pants are sure to give you swagger in the kitchen while keeping all your cooking essentials within arm's reach. With custom pockets for your meat thermometer and phone, loops for your utensils and towels, and a bottle opener to keep the party hydrated, these pants will help you get a leg up in your hosting duties this year. Butterball is giving away for free one final time while supplies last at noon Eastern this Monday, November 17th.
Learn more and claim your pair of hosting pants at ThanksgivingHostingPants.com.
Adopt U.S. Kids for multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned, accessible homes and vehicles, and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan All-Stars. I'm Karen Cataline, happy to be part of the team, and we're talking to Jeffrey Lord, contributing editor to the American Spectator and Newsbusters, Conservative Review, and so much more. Jeffrey, thanks for hanging on. We appreciate your time.
You bet.
Great. So let's just dive right in here, because you wrote an article called Three Cheers for Mark Levin at the American Spectator. Mark Levin has had enough. Thank you for writing that article, Jeffrey. I so appreciate it. It isn't just because I happen to be Jewish, but what I am watching as a longtime Jewish Republican is scary stuff among people that I have not only respected, people I've worked alongside directly. And not only do I want you to talk about this article, but what you think is going on here. Are we living in the Twilight Zone, or is something else going on? Let's start with the first one. Let's talk about this article that you wrote about Mark Levin, because he's taking an enormous amount of incoming.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I should say, I'm not unbiased in this sense. Both Mark and I are from Pennsylvania, and I got to know him back in the early 1980s. And eventually, of course, I was working in the Reagan White House, and my friend Mark was the chief of staff to Ed Meese, who was the Attorney General of the United States. Mark is one of those wizards of smart. I mean, he really is a sharp guy. I think I'm correct that when he was something like 18, he got elected to the school board or something in Montgomery County. you know, he was really pretty good with that stuff. But, you know, in the current moment, of course, he's been talking about, you know, the rise of anti-Semitism and all that sort of thing. And
on the right, to be specific.
On the right. He's gone after right. Tucker Carlson and all of this kind of thing. And I just felt that, you know, I am your basic Congregationalist kid from Massachusetts. Growing up, I had Jewish friends in school, literally from kindergarten all the way through eventually college, where my roommates were Jewish. Several of my roommates were Jewish. And I just really think that this is something. I'm a little surprised that this kind of ugliness has raised its head at this point. But nonetheless, I think it has. And I think those of us in particular who are not Jewish have to speak up, because you just can't let people dangle out there. And when
they
I
have
see
to speak
this,
up about that, and Jews have to speak up about the Christian genocide in Nigeria.
Yes,
we must stand together, both of us, as well as Christians, must do a better job. I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is an issue on which I have great passion. And because we have so little time, and boy, I could talk to you for an hour about this. Have you speculated as to what is going on? Let's just zero in on Tucker Carlson. Some people have said that Qatar is paying money for this. Why he needs more money, I don't know. But, it's not for me to say. Jew haters have been secret Jew haters all along, and now it's okay to be a Jew hater? Or is it something going on with the left? Because it certainly is the closest thing we've seen that could truly blow up the Trump coalition. That and TPUSA, people trying to hijack that in favor of anti-Israel and Jew hatred. You know, this is a hot potato that could really blow up. I wonder what you think. Who's behind it?
I've been very surprised to see that this has emerged. And I have to say, not everybody on the right is going down that path of anti-Semitism. And I can give give you a quite specific example. In August of this year, I'm also a contributor for Newsmax TV.
Mm-hmm.
And in August, Newsmax assembled a group of its anchors and television contributors and flew us to Israel. And we spent a week We got to have a get together with Prime Minister Netanyahu. We were entertained at the home of the Israeli defense minister. We went to the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, and had conversations with people there. And I was just fascinated with this. We got a walking tour over the course of the week of old Jerusalem. And sure. It is truly an amazing thing to see. You know, as an American, we think in this coming week is a reminder of this. When we think of old and ancient history, we think of the pilgrims coming here in 1620. You're walking around Jerusalem and they're telling you that such and such a thing. And for instance, in one case, they took us into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and said, pointed to a specific roped off area and said, this is where Christ was crucified. And then they show you a walkway and they said, and this was put in here by the Romans. Well, we're talking thousands of years ago, not just
1620. Yes, we are.
And you know, it is an amazing.
I just want to point out this very powerful sentence that you wrote in your article that Mark Levin said, which he repeated several times. Mark Levin slams Tucker Carlson, : if you're a Jew hater, you're a Christian hater. So how do you get through to people? I would say, and we don't have time to go into this, replacement theologists who believe that, you know, who believe their religion starts with Christianity, that's it. I think that's part of it, but it's something more sinister and long held. We can't solve that problem today. But what are these guys missing? What do you think is going on with Tucker Carlson, who's been all over the map? First, he was a liberal. Then he was pro-Israel. Now he is practically a Holocaust denier, having Nick Fuentes on. You know, it could give you a whiplash.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. In point of fact, I've never actually met Tucker in person, although we have communicated from time to time in the past via, you know, texts and emails and all of that sort of thing. I have no idea what's going on here. I mean, particularly now after I've been to Israel and seen it firsthand close up, the thought of abandoning Israel or not treating it as what it is, in fact really is, which is a serious American ally in a world that is filled with some pretty reputable characters, it's very important. And I frankly don't understand where Tucker has gone on this. And I think that I think Mark is right. If you're a Jew hater, you're a Christian hater. And
about this. What company are you in with radical Islamist terrorists, the radical left, communists who hate Israel? I mean, it's just mind-boggling, like I said. Jeffrey Lord, I wish we had more time. Thank you so much. People can find you, I take it, at the American Spectator. They got to read this article, Three Cheers for Mark Levin. Can't wait to talk to you after the holidays. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks.
Well, take care. We're going to be right back on the Ellen Nathan All-Stars on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Hilton has once again been ranked number one on the world's best workplace list, according to Great Place to Work and Fortune. The hospitality leader has now topped the list twice in 3 years. At Hilton, its team members say the hospitality industry is where they can learn, grow, and achieve their career goals. Victoria, a sales director at a Homewood Suites property, explains.
Hospitality is the warmest industry that you can go into. The care, the nurturing, and the areas of opportunity are large. There are so many different elements in hospitality, and I don't think everyone thinks about the larger picture that they could fit into. Hilton has always been just a welcoming, open-armed, flexible place to work. I'm going to look forward in enjoying more stable work days and the ability to just have that work-life balance that I truly want.
To learn more about what makes Hilton a great place to work, visit stories.hilton.com/worldsbestworkplace.
Small businesses face constant security challenges, from protecting property to keeping employees and customers safe. SimpliSafe is stepping in with a new suite of professional-grade security solutions designed specifically for business owners. TV host and entrepreneur Chip Wade has more.
As a business owner, I travel a lot for work. And it's reassuring to have a system that not only lets me monitor my businesses no matter where I am, but it's protected by trained agents who will intervene if there's trouble. It's about knowing my offices and workshops are protected even when I can't be there.
SimpliSafe Business Security offers customizable plans backed by 24/7 monitoring. Key features include AI-powered cameras, live agents who can help prevent crimes and call for help in an emergency, multi-camera live streaming, customized user access, and elevated customer support.
SimpliSafe aims to give business owners just like me peace of mind so they can focus on growing their businesses, all without long-term contracts or cancellation penalties.
To learn more, visit SimpliSafe.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And we're back on the Alan Nathan All-Stars. I'm Karen Cataline filling in. Oh, I'm not filling in. I'm sorry. I knew I would say that at some point. Our whole show is named after the wonderful Alan Nathan, whom we lost just only a few weeks ago. And I know how missed he is and is going to be. That's why his name is still on the show. So we honor him and his memory. Well, we're going to welcome director, producer, and humorist. He's the director of the mystery thriller Guns and Moses, now streaming on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, and other major platforms. I saw it. It's wonderful. Go see it. He's also authored Let My People Laugh, Greatest Jewish Jokes of All Time, Sal Litvak, otherwise known as Salvador Litvak, a name with ethnic contradiction, perhaps. How are you, Sal? Good to have you all
on. Great to be back with you. Always good to be with you. I'm a regular now. I feel like I know you personally. We need to have lunch sometime.
I would love that. I would love that. Well, especially, did you find that you, I know you must have had some Sephardic roots in your past, or is it just that your mother loved the name Salvador?
It's not Sephardic, but on my father's side, my family came from Ukraine to the New World, and they didn't end up in America. They ended up in South America, in Chile. Mm. And so my grandfather, my father, and I were all born there. And my grandfather's name was Salvador Litvak also, and I'm pretty sure we're the only two Salvador Litvaks who ever lived.
Well, I know many Jewish women who've named their kids after movie stars that they loved, like Maura of Maura Tierney and stuff like that. So Salvador wouldn't be all that unusual. And for our listeners, since, excuse me, I was talking, Sephardic is the Latin American and more Hispanic and even Israeli side of the Jewish history. And that's why I asked him about Sephardic. I'm thinking maybe they don't know. I don't know. Anyway.
Yes, the Jews from Spain, who when they were kicked out of Spain, actually some went, you know, to the New World, but others ended up in Turkey and in the Middle East. And even in Russia, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, it's so interesting how people spread out and bring their, you know, their backgrounds and their heritage with them.
You know what, Sal? I'm gonna start with a question that I know Jews get, and they don't know how to answer. When someone already is harboring a little bit of Jew hatred, could that happen? Yeah, more today than we've seen in our lifetimes, a lot of Jew hatred floating around from both the right and the left. We just got through talking about it with Jeffrey Lord. Jews get asked a terribly ugly question that is blaming the victim. You'd be any other population to be blaming the victim. But when Jews get asked it, it's kind of like we're supposed to answer. Now, that doesn't mean everyone's anti-Semitic. They are not. But this is the kind of question. They'd say, well, with all that history of getting kicked out of all these places, you know, shouldn't we wonder if you did something wrong to get kicked out? Why'd you get kicked out of all those places? And what do you tell them, Mr. Filmmaker person?
Well, if you look at that history, very often when the Jews were living in a place like Spain, that country was thriving and on top of the world. And then when they kicked out the Jews, that country sank.
So, how about that? You know. How about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think Jews are very good for the countries that we're in. We contribute a lot. And, you know, when people just get jealous because Jews tend to succeed because they value education so much because they often have a lot of kids and, you know, they're good at business and they've been building businesses for thousands of years. So we're good at it. But it's something that always contributes to the local economy.
And no one asks questions like that of almost any other minority group. As a matter of fact, the Jew haters have talked skulls full of mush into believing that Jews are white colonizers and that we're not a minority. We are among the very first minorities. And I've kind of chalked it up to ethnic and religious hatred. I think that's there are spiritual reasons for Jew hatred, and there are secular reasons. But from a secular perspective, I think it could be chalked up to ethnic and religious hatred. We don't go out and try to make converts. Tell me if that's too simplistic in your mind, having made this wonderful movie about Jews fighting back called Guns and Moses.
I mean, it's sort of like people are always looking for a scapegoat for their problems. Jews are an easy target. And so they'll accuse us of things that are totally contradictory you know, sometimes we're too rich, sometimes we're too poor, sometimes we're too involved, sometimes we're too standoffish, according to the Jew haters.
Yeah.
And then in whatever era, you know, they'll come up with some new argument why we're a problem. There was no Israel, so they blamed us for, you know, being among them. Now there is an Israel, and they blame us for supporting Israel. They'll come up with something, but it always, you know, as soon as you actually look at what the accusations are, they don't make sense. They're irrational. It's interesting. I mean, everybody's been talking in the Jewish world about this interview that Tucker Carlson did with Nick.
I was going to get right there. Might as well go do it. Yeah.
Might as well go there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is obviously condemning it. I mean, this guy is just a rabid Jew hater. But I will say that most people who are condemning it haven't actually heard the interview. And I did. I sat down and listened to it. And I think what really makes a Jew hater like Nick Fuentes dangerous is how much sense he does speak. There's a lot of truth in what he's saying, like 80% of it. You know, if you're somebody that really cares about America, you're going to talk about that there's a lot of liberal multiculturalism that puts America second or puts America last. And then you can nod along with when he's talking about that part. And then he gets to the cause of these problems, right?
Mm.
And he asks very innocently, well, you know, I just kept asking, what is it that America gets out of supporting Israel? And I couldn't get an answer. The answers I got were just generalized rhetoric. It doesn't really make any sense. And actually, the answers make a lot of sense, right? So for instance, he points out that that Israel shares intelligence with the United States, but lies to the United States, and therefore that undermines the entire answer. Well, it's not that Israel lies to the United States. It's that every nation has its own intelligence service, and they work with other intelligence services because it benefits them. But at the end of the day, they're going to be most loyal to their own country and their own intelligence agency. And you can be sure that the CIA is not sharing everything it knows with Israel or any other ally. But you can also be sure that America is receiving tremendous amounts of useful intel from Israeli intelligence agencies. America is definitely benefiting from Israeli technology. You use an iPhone, you're benefiting from Israeli technology and so many other products and services. It is good for America to have an ally in such an unstable region. It is good to receive military technology from Israel, which is definitely going to benefit America, is already benefiting America. And it's good business for, you know, American defense industry. So there's a lot of good things that America benefits that he just dismisses as if it's not there. Because what he really wants to say is Jews are a problem. And then he's going to twist the facts and you know, dismiss what are actually valid arguments in order for him to get to his point.
You know what troubles me, Sal, is that when people who support Israel and the Jewish people or Jews themselves, the ones that aren't self-hating anyway, we fall into the same trap that conservatives did before Donald Trump came along. And that is, we're always on the defensive trying to make rational arguments. One of the more wonderful things I've heard recently, and I don't know if I've quoted it to you, is you can never reason somebody out of a position they never reasoned into.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Isn't it wonderful? And
that's exactly
and so
right.
There's two things that trouble me. One is that people who are looking for a scapegoat, and I didn't like the term woke right at first, but now I understand the reason for it, because if you're the victim and you're looking for somebody to blame for why nothing is happening the way you want it to, it's easy to be to blame it on the Jews. The other one we'll have to talk about when we get back, and thank goodness Sal has agreed to another segment. And I'll try to finish that thought and get his comments after this. Thanks, Sal, for holding on. You're listening to the Al and Nathan All-Stars, and this is the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Would you know where to turn if you or loved one suddenly became paralyzed? Paralysis isn't something you plan for, but the National Paralysis Resource Center has served as a vital lifeline for thousands of families. But federal funding for the program is at risk. Marine veteran Sherman Gillums Jr., Senior Director of Public Policy at the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, says the consequences could be devastating.
This is about more than just a budget line. It's about veterans, caregivers, and families, real people who need these resources to live more productive and independent lives.
Gillums, who lives with paralysis himself, says cutting this funding would remove critical resources like peer mentoring, help with housing, and job placement guidance.
When you take away these lifelines, people must figure out how to rebuild their lives on their own. And that's not something any family should have to do.
Learn about the importance of funding for the National Paralysis Resource Center at ChristopherReeve.org.
On Sunday, November 2nd, Americans will fall back to standard time, despite growing concerns over the health and safety risks of seasonal time changes. According to sleep experts, making standard time permanent could improve the lives of millions, and the Coalition for Permanent Standard Time and its partner, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, are working to make that a reality. Dr. Karen Johnson, sleep medicine physician and co-chair of the Coalition for Permanent Standard Time.
When our schedules align with the timing of natural light, people benefit from brighter mornings, safer commutes to work and school, and improved sleep at night.
Want to lessen the effects of the time change? Try these tips. Get at least 7 hours of sleep per night before and after the change. Adjust the timing of daily routines like meals and exercise, and head out for early morning sunlight during the week after the time change. For more information about ending daylight saving time and to find additional resources about sleep disorders, treatments, and sleep health, visit sleepeducation.org, sponsored by the American Academy of Sleep Medicine.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly, everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's H-E-L-P-P-V-A.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Ellen Nathan All-Stars. Takes a while to remember to say that. It is so good to have with us for a second segment, Salvador Litvak. Thank you for staying with us, Sal. Director, producer, humorist, and director of the mystery thriller, go see it, Guns and Moses, now streaming on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, and other platforms. Thanks, Sal, for staying with us.
Good to be with you.
You know, I'm going to cut over. I was, you know, waxing philosophic there about anti-Semitism, but let's go directly to this wonderful article that you wrote in American Greatness with the title, American Jews, Are We Closer to New York, 1975, or Budapest, 1935? Ooh, boy. Talk about that for people who don't know the difference and why you wrote this article. What was one of your main points there?
So, yeah, and this arises from personal experience. My grandmother was in Hungary in 1935. With her husband, watching the world become such a hateful place, watching Europe become a hateful place toward the Jews, a rising darkness. And she actually said to him, who was a veterinarian, we got to get out of here. They need veterinarians in Iran. That's a much better and safer place to be a Jew, which sounds funny now, but
yes,
was 100% true in 1935.
Uh-huh.
And what did he say? He said, what are you talking about? I'm a Hungarian. I fought for my country in the Great War, in World War I. And what am I going to go to some other country? You know, we're staying here. And they stayed, and it got worse and worse. And he was murdered in the Holocaust. My grandmother was in a concentration camp and survived and carried my mother as an infant through that camp. Absolute miracle story.
Oh, my.
So 1935 is that specter of Jew hatred that just, you know, mushrooms into, an absolute devastation and calamity, true danger, you know, which Jews have faced in many times and places, but perhaps never as bad as the Holocaust. 1975 refers to a period 2 years after a surprise attack on Israel. The Yom Kippur War, which showed Israel and Jews everywhere, you know, how vulnerable the Jewish state was. We survived that and actually came back much stronger. And by 2 years later, things were really on the rise again. People were very involved. America was realizing what an important ally Israel was and was coming to its help and military aid. And because of that, the strength of that unity, that allyship, by 1979, we had the Camp David Accords and peace with Egypt, the biggest country in the Middle East, and, you know, setting the stage for good things to come. So what I'm asking is, are we closer to a coming Holocaust?
Yeah.
Or are we closer to a rebound from October 7th? You know, and I think that there's evidence to point in both directions.
I have to ask you this tough question. In your heart of hearts, are you leaning in one direction or the other?
Listen, I don't think that we're in 1930s Germany here in America. I mean, this country is so good, so kind, so much the land of opportunity, the American experiment. I love America, you know, so much. Our second film was about Abraham Lincoln. It's called Saving Lincoln. And we studied for 2 years American history and especially Civil War history and Lincoln's own, you know, great feeling that America and the American experiment is something on behalf of the whole world. It's really that shining city on a hill, in a sense, the New Jerusalem, which is how the founding fathers saw it. And has brought democracy to the world with all its problems, and there are many. America is still, you know, in that sense, the greatest nation in the world. But have we, as Jews here, never faced such danger in our lifetimes? Is unquestionable.
I don't think we have. We never have.
We never have. And most recently, in the fallout from that Nick Fuentes interview on Tucker, Tucker Carlson has said, oh, Jews, you better listen to what's going on here with love. something bigger and more explosive comes. I mean, he's basically saying violence is coming your way.
With love? What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. What does that mean? And we are facing real violence. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. Like, I carry a gun in Shul. You know, like, I'm part of a volunteer security force.
Many do.
And we're extremely well-trained. And I tell everybody who's thinking about getting a firearm, fine, and do it and protect your community and your family. But you have to go through extensive training and ongoing training because it's a perishable skill. But that's not something that I grew up with, you know, feeling that need in the United States. I mean, violent attacks are on the rise.
What about the shul on the Upper East Side? Just last week, I just returned from New York City at a conference, a Shabbaton, in which it was at two synagogues on the West Side. And we were told not to tell anybody about that conference for fear that the same thing would happen. And what exactly happened on Wednesday, in which case, in the case that bloodthirsty, rabid Jew haters were spewing intimidating, bullying language and surrounding a synagogue. If you got guns, what do you do then? I mean, you're being it's horrific that this could happen. My parents, my grandparents would never have believed it.
Would never have believed it. And that conference was all about, you know, Jews who'd like to return to Israel, to the homeland, and what does it mean to do that? It's not easy. There's a lot of practical challenges. And there's a wonderful organization that helps Jews who'd like to move to Israel and live in the ancestral homeland of the Jewish people navigate those practical matters.
Is that what they were doing at that conference?
Yeah, like at that conference where the mob was outside. Exactly. And so what does Mamdani say? That instead of condemning the violent mob outside who's chanting, you know, basically for the death of the Jews and, you know, globalizing intifada and that kind of stuff, he criticizes the conference inside and basically calling the Jewish state a terrorist, pariah state. You know, I mean, it's obvious. How the mayor of
who
New
believes,
York feels
who
about
believes
Israel.
That he wouldn't do anything else. God, it's good that you're a regular, Sal, because we were just getting started. We got to talk about it with the Arab Spring in America and how this came to happen. Everybody, go see his movie, Guns and Moses. Best of luck with that. Happy Thanksgiving, and I hope to talk to you after the holidays.
All right, Karen. Take care. Have a great holiday.
All righty. Take care. We'll be back with another hour of the Alan Nathan All-Stars right after this. Don't go away.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.